Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, the music is back on TikTok with a new deal struck. Maybe a third of Americans were affected by that Change Healthcare hack. Why are companies suddenly cutting teams you'd think would be sacred cows? Airbnb wants you to stay in the house from the movie Up. And we finally know just how much Google pays Apple for the search default in iOS. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. TikTokers, your long musical nightmare appears to be over. Universal Music Group and TikTok have struck a new music licensing deal to bring UMG music back to the platform, including improved remuneration and AI protections. Quoting Variety, as part of the agreement, the company stated they will, quote, deliver improved remuneration for UMG's songwriters and artists, new promotional and engagement opportunities for their recordings and songs, and industry-leading protections with respect to generative AI. UMG's music will return to the platform imminently, and the companies will collaborate on realizing, quote, new monetization opportunities utilizing TikTok's growing e-commerce capabilities, and will work together on campaigns supporting UMG's artists across genres and territories globally. Beginning in February, the ban resulted in a near complete blackout of all music owned, distributed, and published by the company on the platform. The videos were still there, but the music was muted. Although there was no shortage of artists breaking the ban, both officially, Taylor Swift in an apparent UMG-sanctioned promotion around her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, and unofficially, plenty of others. While UMG's reasons for the ban were indisputably high-minded, an attempt to fight for greater compensation and intellectual property protections for its artists, and of course, to protect its own interests, there is no question that it caused significant disruption in countless artists' careers. For the past 5 years, TikTok has been the single most influential music discovery and promotion vehicle, and music companies have badgered their artists to become active or viral on the platform, leading some to spend their own money in an effort to do so. But beginning in February, UMG artists suddenly found those efforts muted by their own company. A month later, songs with writers signed to Universal's publishing division faced a similar fate. The ban was difficult to enforce anyway. Unlike streaming services, rights holders, usually record labels, are not the only entities who can upload music to the platform. Virtually anyone can, and since the app is controlled by TikTok, labels and other rights holders cannot do anything about infractions except issue takedown notices and other legal notifications. Also, TikTok's detection software can be eluded with some sped up or slowed down or otherwise altered songs, which many users do when including music in their posts. There is also the possibility that some involved parties turned a blind eye to some infractions, end quote. UnitedHealth CEO Andrew Witty testified before the House yesterday that the recent Change Healthcare hack impacted, quote, maybe a third of Americans, and notifying victims will take, quote, several months. Quoting TechCrunch, Witty said he was reluctant to give a more precise answer because the company is still investigating the breach and trying to figure out exactly how many people were affected. In a written statement filed by Witty ahead of the two hearings, the CEO wrote that, quote, so far, we have not seen evidence of exfiltration of materials such as doctor's charts or full medical histories among the data, end quote. According to Witty's testimony, the hackers, quote, used compromised credentials to remotely access a Change Healthcare Citrix portal, which was not protected by multi-factor authentication, a basic cybersecurity measure that adds an extra step to log into accounts and systems. Had that portal had multi-factor authentication enabled, the breach may not have happened. Several senators grilled Witty on that failure, asking him whether UnitedHealth and Change Healthcare systems are now protected with multi-factor authentication. During the Senate hearing, Witty said, we have an enforced policy across the organization to have multi-factor authentication on all of our external systems, which is in place, end quote. As mentioned, there was also a separate Senate hearing, and in that one, Witty also said that the company paid a $22 million ransom to the hackers who accessed that server that wasn't protected by MFA. Quoting CNBC, the decision to pay a ransom was mine, Witty said. This was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone, end quote. UnitedHealth is one of the largest companies in the world with a roughly $450 billion market cap. Its business unit Optum, which provides care to 103 million customers, and Change Healthcare, which touches one in three patient records, merged in 2022. As a result of this malicious cyber attack, patients and providers have experienced disruptions and people are worried about their private health data, Witty said. To all those impacted, let me be very clear. I am deeply, deeply sorry. Senator Tom Tillis held up a bright yellow copy of Hacking for Dummies during the hearing. saying the breach is United Health's responsibility to fix. This is some basic stuff that was missed, so shame on internal audit, external audit, and your systems folks tasked with redundancy. They're not doing their job, Tillis said, end quote. I don't know what's going on with people laying off key team members that you think would be important to their areas of growth and strategic importance just generally. Sources are saying that Google laid off at least 200 employees from its core teams, including its Python developer team, with plans to move some of those roles to Mexico and India. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Python the most popular language used for AI and ML? Quoting CNBC, the core unit is responsible for building the technical foundation behind the company's flagship products and for protecting users' online safety, according to Google's website. Core teams include key technical units from information technology, its Python developer team, technical infrastructure, security foundation, app platforms, core developers, and various engineering roles. At least 50 of the positions eliminated were in engineering at the company's offices in Sunnyvale, California. Filings show many core teams will hire corresponding roles in Mexico and India, according to internal documents viewed by CNBC. The teams involved in the reorganization have been key to the company's developer tools, an area Google is streamlining as it incorporates more artificial intelligence into the products. In February, Google announced a major rebrand of its chatbot from Bard to Gemini, the same name as the suite of AI models that power it. The core layoffs also include the Governance and Protected Data Group, which will be at the center of regulatory challenges facing the company, particularly as lawmakers across the globe focus more on developments in AI. The European Union's Digital Markets Act, which went into effect in March, aims to clamp down on anti-competitive practices in tech. End quote. Teams key to AI and staying on the right side of EU regulation. Again, is this cutting off your nose to spite your face? I direct you to my questions about Tesla and the supercharger team yesterday. Anthropic has launched a free iOS app of its AI tools and also Team, its first enterprise plan, which offers access to its Claude 3, Opus, Sonnet, and Haiku models for $30 per user per month. Quoting CNBC, the new plan for businesses, dubbed Team, has been in development over the last few quarters and involved beta testing with between 30 and 50 customers in industries such as technology, financial services, legal services, and healthcare. Anthropic co-founder Daniela Amodai told CNBC in an interview, adding that the idea for the service was partially born out of many of those same customers asking for a dedicated enterprise product. The Team plan offers access to all three of Anthropic's latest Claude models with increased usage limits, admin tools, and billing management, as well as a longer context window, meaning the ability for businesses to have multi-step conversations and upload long documents like research papers and legal contracts for processing, according to Anthropic. Other features coming include citations from reliable sources to verify AI-generated claims per the release. The Team offering requires a minimum of 5 users. Anthropic's first iOS app is free for users across all plans and also available starting Wednesday. It provides syncing with web chats and the ability to upload photos and files from a smartphone. There are plans to launch an Android app too. We actually just hired our first Android engineer, so we are actively working on the Android app, Amodai told CNBC, adding that the engineer starts next week. News of the Team plan and iOS app comes more than a month after Anthropic's debut of Claude 3, a suite of AI models that it says are its fastest and most powerful yet. The new tools are called Claude 3 Opus, Sonnet, and Haiku. The company has said the most capable of the new models, Claude 3 Opus, outperformed OpenAI's GPT-4 and Google's Gemini Ultra on industry benchmark tests, such as undergraduate-level knowledge, graduate-level reasoning, and basic mathematics. This is also the first time Anthropic has offered multimodal support. Users can upload photos, charts, documents, and other types of unstructured data for analysis and answers. The other models, Sonnet and Haiku, are more compact and less expensive than Opus. The company declined to specify how long it took to train Claude 3 or how much it cost, but it said companies like Airtable and Asana helped A/B test the models. In a release Wednesday, Anthropic confirmed that other current clients using Claude include Pfizer, Asana, Zoom, Perplexity AI, Bridgewater, Associates, and more currently, end quote. When you go through airport security, there's one line where the TSA agent checks your ID and another line where a machine scans your bag. The same thing happens in enterprise security, but instead of passengers and luggage, it's end users and their devices. These days, most companies are pretty good at the first part of the equation, where they check user identity. But user devices can roll right through authentication without getting inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months. Or worse, that laptop might belong to a bad actor using employee credentials. Collide finally solves the device trust problem. Collide ensures that no device can log into your Okta-protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux fleet, contractor devices, and every BYOD phone and laptop in your company. Visit collide.com/ride to watch a demo and see how it all works. That's KOLIDE.com/ride, collide.com/ride. I'm going to a big AI startup demo day here in the city tomorrow, and I will 100% be decked out in Mack Weldon clothing. Why? Well, Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. That's their AirKnit underwear. Crazy, comfortable, but elevated sweatpants, the Ace Collection. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads, the Silver Peak Polo. That's my personal fave. And ultra-soft antimicrobial tees for when you need to stay fresh longer. Their silver crewneck t-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code RIDE. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code RIDE. Airbnb has launched Icons, a new category of experiences that lets users meet celebrities, stay in outlandish venues, including a replica of the house from Pixar's Up, quoting the New York Times. The sleek mansion in the hills overlooking Las Vegas could have been featured on MTV's Cribs, but the highlight of Aubrey Garza's weekend stay there wasn't the palatial rooms or the marble fireplace. It was meeting her Airbnb host, Christina Aguilera. It just felt like a dream, Ms. Garza, 26, said. When she was growing up, her bedroom was decorated with posters of the pop star. Ms. Garza had nabbed one of the once-in-a-lifetime promotional stays that Airbnb has occasionally listed in recent years. The popular, if rare, listings have included not only private hangouts with celebrities, but also stays in a Barbie mansion modeled on the one from the hit movie and a replica of Shrek's swamp dwelling in the Scottish Highlands. On Wednesday, Airbnb announced that it was expanding that stunt and promotions like them under a new permanent category called Icons, featuring unusual and ambitious partnerships with brands and celebrities. At a news conference in Los Angeles on Wednesday, Brian Chesky, Airbnb's chief executive, introduced the inaugural slate of Icons listings. It was headlined by a replica of the floating house from Up, the 2009 animated Pixar film, balloons and all. With the help of a giant crane, the house will be suspended high in the air over the New Mexico desert. Asked whether the house, which does not appear to be connected to the ground by pipes or wiring, had plumbing and electricity, the company said it was, quote, fully functional. Asked for details, the company said the house is, quote, connected to a generator and other utilities that will be disconnected and reconnected before and after flying. Other listings include a recreation of the mansion from the X-Men 97 cartoon, built to appear two-dimensional, and the Minneapolis house where Prince's character lived in the 1984 film Purple Rain. Only a few people have been able to stay in Airbnb's previous fantastical listings, but the company said it expected roughly 4,000 customers to book stays in Icons listings in 2024. Another 10 listings are slated to go up by the end of the year. Booking periods will vary. Dates for the Up House are open through mid-September. With Icons, Airbnb is hoping to capitalize on the success that earlier listings have achieved as promotional tools ready-made for Instagram selfies and eye-catching headlines, Mr. Chesky said. He pointed to the success of Airbnb's collaboration with Mattel last summer, which brought the Malibu Dream House to life ahead of the release of the blockbuster Barbie film. The buzz interested other brands. I think what they've seen is that these prior icons have become cultural sensations, quite literally. Mr. Chesky said in a phone interview. The Barbie listing got 2 to 3 times as much press coverage as when Airbnb went public in 2020, Mr. Chesky said. The Shrek Swamp listing was viewed on the platform more than 200 million times, end quote. Finally today, as ever, trials are good for shaking loose data points we'd never get otherwise. For example, the U.S. versus Google case has finally given us hard numbers on something we've always speculated about, i.e. Google paid Apple $20 billion in 2022 to be the default search engine in Safari. Using that year as a reference, that means that Google's payments constituted 17.5% of Apple's operating income, quoting Bloomberg. The deal between the two tech giants is at the heart of the landmark case in which antitrust enforcers allege Google has illegally monopolized the market for online search and related advertising. The Justice Department and Google will offer closing arguments in the case Thursday and Friday, with a decision expected later this year. Google and Apple had hoped to shield the payment amount from public disclosure. At the trial last fall, Apple executives testified that Google paid billions without specifying a number. A Google witness later accidentally disclosed that Google pays 36% of the revenue it earns from search ads to Apple. The agreement with Apple is the most important of Google's default deals since it sets the search engine for the most used smartphone in the U.S. Apple first agreed to use Google in the Safari browser in 2002 for free, but the companies later decided to share revenue made from search advertising. By May 2021, that translated to Google paying Apple more than $1 billion a month for its default status, prosecutors said in the filing. Microsoft, which operates competing search engine Bing, has repeatedly tried to entice Apple away from its relationship with Google. The company offered to share 90% of its advertising revenue with Apple to make Bing the default search in Safari, according to court documents. Those figures also weren't previously disclosed. Microsoft Chief Executive Officer Satya Nadella testified at the trial last year that the company was willing to make a number of concessions, including hiding the Bing brand to persuade Apple to make the switch, which he said would be game-changing. Whomever they choose, they kingmake, Nadella said of Apple, end quote. And one more nugget from the same trial. Microsoft invested in OpenAI because they were afraid of falling behind Google in the AI race. Kevin Scott said he was, quote, very, very worried in a 2019 email to Satya Nadella. Bloomberg again. Scott, who also serves as Executive Vice President of Artificial Intelligence at Microsoft, observed that Google's search product had improved on competitive metrics because of the Alphabet company's advancements in AI. The Microsoft executive wrote that he made a mistake by dismissing some of the earlier AI efforts of its competitors. We are multiple years behind the competition in terms of machine learning scale, Scott said in the email. Significant portions of the message titled Thoughts on OpenAI remain redacted. Nadella endorsed Scott's email, forwarding it to Chief Financial Officer Amy Hood and saying it explains, quote, why I want us to do this, end quote. Microsoft has subsequently poured more than $13 billion into its partnership and backing of OpenAI, tapping the startup's generative AI technology to enhance its Bing search service, Edge internet browser, and most notably, integrate an AI copilot service into Windows. Nadella has elevated the AI race to a priority at the company, also recruiting DeepMind co-founder Mustafa Soliman to run its consumer AI business. Nadella answered questions about the email when he testified at the trial last fall. The company's OpenAI, quote, investment was not made with the narrow focus on just search, he said at the time, end quote. Nothing for you today. Talk to you tomorrow.